a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver. Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to our first Planetary Influence segment of 2021 here on the Dr. Kevin Show, where we're going to have innercenter.org, astrologer, a hypnotherapist, and beatnik Rob Stewart on the show, talking about what's going on in those planetary, those lovely planetary skies. I'm surprised we haven't worn them out with all of the trauma we've been putting them through. And none other than my beautiful co-hostess with the mostest, at least twice a month. Sometimes I'm lucky and I get her a third time. Oh, baby. Lori Power Auto. Huh? So,
did you know? Yeah.
That's all right. I know your husband doesn't listen to the show. Neither does mine, so they'll never know.
Okay.
All good. So we are going to get to the astrology, kind of what's coming up in the stars, the skies, how it's going to be influencing us. But before that, I want a brief break in, also known as a brief weigh-in, a brief break-in from Lori and from Rob on what they thought about yesterday's inauguration, and then I'm actually going to share a poem I wrote yesterday. And no, you can't put it on mute while I'm reading my poetry. I heard that, whoever was thinking it. You know I know what you're thinking out there in my listening audience. Suffer through it. So guys, what did you think about the inauguration? Ms. Lori, ladies first.
I sat here and cried tears of joy. I'm not going to lie. I thought it was beautiful. I have to say that concert they did for the inauguration at the end, I think every inauguration should have that same sort of format. It was beautiful. It was moving. I loved all the singers. But the whole inauguration was just...
Yeah.
It gave
did you
me...
Have a, did you have a single favorite part? Rob, listen closely. You're going to get these questions in a minute. I'm giving you extra thinking time. Did you have a favorite part?
Oh, well, of course, the poem.
Oh, poetry, yes. Touches our heart.
Oh, yes.
Yes, she was incredible.
She was incredible, moving on so many levels. I mean, I loved Biden's speech. Don't misunderstand, but that poem was, it was it.
Yep. Rob, what did you think of the, I gave you plenty of time. You got to pull it out now, brother.
I liked Joe Biden's speech there. I think it was, calling for unity. And I think that's really important. I mean, that to me is the bottom line for everything, really, you know? And it was weird compared to past inaugurations, of course, with no one there and stuff. But I enjoyed his speech and all of it. Yep.
Well, obviously, you didn't see Bernie's mittens if you thought no one was there. How could you miss those? Somebody was there. Bernie, his mittens, and three cows from St. Johnsbury, Vermont. How could you miss them?
Right.
So, well, I love the inauguration. I haven't finished watching it yet because I worked all day yesterday. I tried to take the day off, and I thought my clients were going to string me up and hang me. So I've been watching... So Jeff and I have been watching it because, you know, it's all on, it was all taped. So we got through 4 of the 6 hours. We're just moving into the night's entertainment. I haven't seen that yet, but I made it all through. The poem was lovely and was definitely up in my top. I'm also going to mention the woman who was the chief of a fire department that signed the Pledge of Allegiance, as she said it. I thought that was an extremely powerful, inclusive moment, that we had a female person of color fire chief that was there doing the Pledge of Allegiance and signing it. That stood out to me. My other absolute favorite part was the absence of Trump.
Yeah, I think we all liked that. I think everybody liked that.
Tail between his legs, getting ready to be dragged to prison by New York State, and is being sued by Mar-a-Lago people because the agreement in the contract was it would not become his permanent residence. And of course, he treats that contract like every other bit of things he signs as, well, it was convenient at the time. It's no longer convenient. Why would I be held accountable? I'm Donald Trump. Well, let's hope that we can really throw some good old-fashioned oil when we fry his ass over all this stuff. Anyways, not that I have any opinions on the subject.
No.
Hey, you know what can I say? There's just something about speaking truth, which he wouldn't recognize.
No.
No. So the poem I wrote for the kind of as a post honoring to the inauguration and everything called New Day 1/2021. The sun rose today, and I swear it was a little bit brighter. My spirit awoke today, and it felt a little bit lighter. This day I find infused with hope. We have survived a great storm where hate and divisiveness had become the new norm, where we were encouraged to hate, ignoring the truth while taking the bait. Our fears were fed, lies presented as truths were all we had. They wanted to fuel our anger into hating the other, justifying our actions to hate instead of loving our brother. Desperate cult, breaking every rule of separation of church and state, made gloriously hideous statements to hold on to their power and their plate. And if you ask, what would Jesus do? The answer was sit down and weep at his name being associated with hate-mongering tweets. But morning has now broken in a new day. How quickly can we recover? How soon can we discover? Only the ones abusing their power was the other. The ones who profited off feeding us hate, making themselves feel great, staying in power through the falsehood of the deep state. How easily we can be led astray, but now we have a new day. New hope has come to stay. Let love and unity guide our way.
Very nice. Very nice.
That was awesome.
Very nice.
Yeah. You know, certainly a difference from Bleeding the Red, White, and Blue, which you didn't hear, Rob, but Lori heard in one of my earlier shows that I did the day that they tried to overthrow the Capitol. So anyways, that being said, I am now going to turn this over to our ever-esteemed or, you know, lightly fried astrologer, Rob Stewart.
Well, yeah, thanks, Dr. Kevin. And I one quick correction. I'm not a hypnotherapist. I do consulting hypnotist work for people for, you know, quitting cigarettes and things like that. So I just want to clarify that. It's a small but a big thing. So
And I didn't know that. Well, thank you for correcting me. Forget what I said. He's a hippopotamus is what I meant. Go ahead.
That's right. Yep.
He's a certified hypnopotamus.
I like that. All right. So the sun entered Aquarius on January 19th. And, you know, there's six at one point, and is it still now? Is still moon still there? There's basically six planets in Aquarius this month. That's a stellium in Aquarius. So there's a lot of Aquarian energy. Aquarius is innovation. It's motivated by pushing the envelope, and it's sort of a revolutionary energy, Aquarius, and motivated by countercultural concerns and things of that nature. You know, so there's likely a lot of humanitarian issues over this next month, maybe some unconventional innovations, things of that nature. And so the sun was in Capricorn from December 21st until the 19th of January. And Capricorn's about conformity. And Aquarius is about breaking from conformity. Aquarius is not, you know, like tribal mentality and Aquarius just don't go well together. And so this next month, and we'll get into the details here, but you know, Aquarian energy, it's unique. It's like I said, it's an innovator. I like to look at some famous people with Aquarian things in the charts. And, you know, oftentimes Aquarius is either considered genius or crazy. You know, it just depends on who's judging that. You know, like Galileo was labeled crazy, but of course he was, of course, genius. And he had his sun and Mercury in Aquarius. And another sort of Aquarian person is Jim Carrey. He has his Jupiter, Mercury, and Saturn all in Aquarius. So, you know, people that are just sort of borderline, just so different, but completely genius in their creativity and their innovation and new ways of thinking. So that's, you know, those are the positive sides of Aquarius. The shadow sides of Aquarius is that it can be overly rebellious. Aquarius can be indifferent. There can be disconnection between the head and the heart. One can be too objective with Aquarian energy. And so, you know, Aquarius is a fixed sign, so it can be kind of quirky and stubborn at the same time. And you know, the thing is, you know, this next week, couple weeks, the energies in this in astrology are pretty heightened. They're pretty, you know, I'll be happy when these next couple of weeks are over with, because there's just a lot of energy in there, and we'll talk about that. You know, Dr. Kevin, you mentioned, you know, bringing the light in. I think it was in your poem or in your what you talked about before that. And on January 13th of this month, we had a new moon conjunct Pluto. So the sun, the moon, and Pluto were all conjunct on January 13th. And that's about bringing light to the shadow. And it was in Capricorn, so that's about authority and sort of, you know, structures and conditioning and things like that. And so, you know, bringing light to the shadow is a big part of this next moon cycle. These lunar cycles last 6 months, and this new moon cycle is seeded with Pluto. So there's some deep transformation that's occurring over these next 6 months, according to the astrology. And I just want to bring up the astrology for yesterday, January 20th. What's today?
Yesterday.
Yeah, thank you. I'm losing track. So yesterday, Mars and Uranus and the first quarter moon were all conjunct. And so this is that was a really big alignment. A lot of astrologers were sort of looking at that date, and it obviously was the inauguration of Joe Biden. And that, sort of looking at that tentatively, it's also squaring the U.S.'s nodal axis. And what that means is that there's opportunities to make new choices. And with Mars conjunct Uranus, there's something about liberation from past, maybe past aggressions, past assertions, things of that nature. And the first quarter moon is a crisis in action. And so a lot of these energies speak to having to work through some old patterns of the U.S. And so Uranus brings freedom. It brings liberation. Mars is aggressive and assertive. And you know, the bottom line is that the energies for this, and I mentioned this already, but the energies for this next week are intense. And it's the type of thing that I will talk about it, but, you know, there can be quick to anger or quick to, you know, outbursts of energy, things of that nature. Sudden drama is very possible over this next week. So January 24th, Saturn will be conjunct the Sun, and Jupiter will be directly square Mars. And so when Saturn's conjunct the Sun, it's a really somber feeling. You know, there's sort of this extra responsibility. And the Moon will be conjunct the U.S.'s Mars and the transiting North Node as well on that day, on the 24th. And so, you know, there is this sort of somber energy that is here for the next week and a half or so. And it's a type of thing, you know, everybody just given the opportunity to bring their best self to, you know, obviously we all watch the news. There's just a lot of intensity in the world today. And what the astrology says is that that intensity over the next couple of weeks is there in this way. And there's opportunities to make healthy choices and peaceful choices. And from that place. And January 28th, we have a full moon in Leo. And this is really sort of, this is sort of an emotional time. This is really like outbursts. Venus has been trining Mars for most of January, but on the 22nd or 23rd, there's no longer a trine from Venus to Mars. So Mars is a bit more potent, a bit more aggressive, a bit more assertive. And so on January 28th, we have a full moon in Leo with the Sun conjunct or opposite the Moon and the Sun conjunct Jupiter. And all of these planets, the Sun, Moon, and Jupiter, are squaring Mars, Mars and Uranus. And so this is a really heightened energy. This alignment, the full moon, is occurring on the U.S.'s nodal axis. You know, it's sort of militaristic. There's sort of a militaristic energy to that. And I say that, you know, I want total, complete peace, you know, and that I have to speak to the energies as I see them. And there is this sort of difficult energy moving through over this next week. And I know we're going to break soon, so I will take a pause, I guess, because that's a good pausing part for me.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
These are the sounds of a dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served. Thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America. 200 food banks strong.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times. This week we're doing planetary influences with our certified hippo and astrologer, Rob Stewart from innercenter.org. If you don't know why he's a certified hippo, you have to listen to the first part of the radio show, or you're just going to miss it. We also have Lori Powers Auto joining us as we are going through what's happening in the skies and being filled in. And if you have questions, thoughts, or comments, as long as they are respectful, you may call in at 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. So, Rob, I got a couple of questions before you dive back in.
Mm-hmm.
So what I heard you say is we have Aquarius, also known as a quirky Aries, right? Is that what you said? The Q in Aquarius stands for quirky, so a quirky Aries. There's going to be a lot of energy, chaotic energy, because of all of these planets in Aquarius.
I don't
now.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I was just going to say, you know, I'm hoping it's not chaotic. There's energy. There's certainly intense energy over this next week, astrologically speaking. And sometimes it manifests here and in this world and sometimes not. But I just want to speak to that because that's those are some of the energies this next week.
So things are coming up and we are in this. I was requested to sing the dawning of the age of Aquarius, but I will save your ears from that. But now we have lots of things that are being uncovered now that are coming up. A lot of high energy. This new administration has come in. Today it was announced that there was actually no playbook that anyone could find that was any kind of organizational plan on how to get these vaccines out. Major issue for people who are desperately in need of it or who had people that maybe ended up, they know, or they themselves got sick that maybe if the vaccine had moved a little faster, might have been prevented. That's some heated energy there. And of course, then you have some of the supporters of the past administration going, oh, there was a playbook. He just didn't leave it for you. Which would actually mean that he was really a despicable person, right? That he created a playbook but wouldn't leave it behind so that the new administration would lose time getting vaccines out to save Americans' life. Something about that didn't connect with me why they thought that would be a good thing to say. But that's just me. I could be wrong. But lots of things are going that have been covered up with lots of rhetoric and lying and, hey, tap your shoulder on the right-hand side and do something over on the left when you go and look, it's all going to come to the surface. And you talked about a somber seriousness that could even be militaristic showing up at some point. You know, the Proud Boys are now calling Trump a loser because he gave up and didn't stay in the office, and they're starting to turn on him, which is going to create great divisions in the ranks. And we have this impeachment hearing coming. And so, I mean, I can see this pot getting way turned up to boil, and you're telling me the astrology looks like it might be the stove that it's boiling on. Is that a fair statement?
I think that's a fair statement. I mean, like I said, over this next week, you know, maybe culminating on January 28th of the full moon, there's just a intensification of energy. And this is what the astrology points to, you know, over this next week. And, you know, for people in daily lives, you know, it's a type of thing where they're with Mars conjunct Uranus, there can be easier outbursts of anger or assertion. And so these are things just to be aware of in your own lives.
Yeah, and I know you stay away from you're really good at staying in the, I am just the astrologer reporting the weather of the planets. I'm not, you know, and I appreciate that. My job is to jump in and rant and rave and make the connections that I see, which can be totally wrong. But I like to say that the astrologer could, when they say, well, yes, that could be a way it could play out. Yes, that would be a viable way it would play out. Yeah, 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 I get it. Lori.
Yes, sir.
Listening to this, and my supposition of what I think we're getting ready to see happen, which is this group eating themselves, but taking down lots of people with them if we're not careful. What do you think? Get intuitive feeling or just intellectually listening to astrology? Do you think this is what we may be looking for, or am I somewhere on the other side of the third moon of Saturn?
I think that's some of what we're looking for. Because the energies are intense, right? And correct me, I'm not an astrologer. I don't know, you know, just what Rob teaches me. Just because things are intense, that doesn't necessarily mean bad, right? So while some people are getting, will be riled up, there could also be the love part could actually also be intensified by these energies. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, the way, you know, the way that I see things is that the energies, you know, there's the continuous ebb and flow of energies, and they can be manifested in however way we choose. So, yeah, I agree with your statement in principle. You know, oftentimes here, you know, when things are heightened and there's intense, you know, even sort of intense energies, people can act out in ways that are not healthy and not beneficial. And so this is just something that I think in each of our own lives, that this is a good week to be mindful, to be all that, you know. For the whole year, this might be one of the more sort of dynamic weeks of 2021, to be honest. And we'll see. You know, everybody, it's obviously, you know, you can just watch the news with, you know, things have been intense and yeah, we're all sort of in this together and figuring it out, you know?
And I don't want to come across here as a pessimist by any means, but when we're squaring Mars, also known as the god of war, when you said, I hate to say this, but there's a military feel to this. I believe were your words, something along there. And we look at the fact of, when a false idol dies, when a cult starts splitting apart, when it starts eating itself, it is messy. You know, and it has felled more than one civilization in the past. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but I'm saying, you know, and part of this is just supporting Rob's, you know, be aware, the next week or so is not a good time to decide to say to somebody who, let's say, was a Trump supporter, as all of this stuff comes out that didn't happen or didn't get done, or all of these things come to light, and we know they're going to, that you don't go, see, I told you so. You still glad you voted for him? Don't antagonize. And
right.
don't let their denial, like, well, he just took the playbook with him, which would mean he'd even be a bigger than I already think he is, if that's possible.
Yeah.
But as some of this stuff comes to the surface, I mean, no politician is completely transparent. But right now, it only, in some ways, it only benefits Biden to be very transparent and show America all the problems that he has taken on from this previous administration. And I think that that's going to happen. I think it's also a political strategy move. I think it's in some ways a bright one. In some ways, it's a dangerous one. But that's beside the point. For our listeners, think twice before you speak. Don't goad and don't get goaded. And remember, the people whose false idol is falling from the pulpit need sympathy and compassion. Not condescendence, but sympathy and compassion. Because it's tough when any god falls, especially a false one. So that's why I point this out. That's what I want people to kind of take away from this. Not that I'm predicting doom and gloom. My other question is, now, would you ever look at the Biden presidency as it's getting ready to unfold as it was born at noon on the 20th of January, that all these planets in Aquarius, that this, I believe, I'm doing this in the back of my head, so you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think this would be an Aquarius with an Aries rising. Would casting a chart like that from an astrologer's perspective, would that give us perhaps some of the rhythms that are likely to be flowing over the next 4 years with Biden based on that chart? Is that a viable way to use astrology?
It is. It's interesting, though. I mean, Mars conjunct Uranus and Taurus and squaring the country's north and south nodes is a very interesting Earth chart for the next 4 years. I've never done that before. I've never done sort of a presidential inauguration thing. But, you know, the bottom line is that yesesterday, January 20th, 2021, was a very significant astrological day for the United States. The Uranus and Mars are directly squaring the country's moon nodal axis, which means there's something, you know, in evolutionary astrology, it speaks about past lives. So there's something about maybe a past life of the United States, you know, in some, you know, who knows if this, who knows what the, if this is any bearing or not, but an opportunity to take a different approach, a healthier approach with regards to aggression and assertion. And this, you know, next couple of weeks is really, it speaks to that. So, I guess that's all I'd have to say about that.
You mean like the U.S.'s past life as a legalized slaveholding company country, or the U.S.'s past life as a genocide, culture destroying to the Native American tribes energy? You think that maybe those past lives of the U.S. are getting ready to come up and have something to happen around them?
I think the U.S.'s current life has that, obviously, in its a past life of a country. I have no idea what that means. But one could imagine, you hear stories of these ancient civilizations, you know, whatever it is, if it's true or not, of Atlantis and the rest, that, you know, hey, maybe this is, we're all sort of giving it another go here. Who knows? But those are, you know, just things to, fun things to ponder, but the reality of it, no clue.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and move forward, but I just wanted to bring that up. And when you say nodal, you've used the term nodal two or three times, and I suspect that there might be listeners out there that go, what? Is that like a growth somewhere on your body? Can you define that for our listeners?
Yes. So the north and south nodes of the moon are—they're not locations. They're not actual celestial bodies in the system. They're places where the moon crosses the elliptical of the planet Earth. So they're just places in the chart that are sort of they're calculated locations, and they have importance for one's childhood upbringing and also the place where they're headed, the direction according to astrology that is optimal for one's evolution and growth and things like that. So so that when I say nodal axis, it means the moon's nodes, which speaks of like the childhood conditioning and then where one is can head in life according to astrology for spiritual some spiritual growth.
Thank you. So now continue on, oh wise one.
All right, so you know, one thing that's pretty interesting is that for most of January, and actually for much of this year, Saturn is squaring Uranus. And Saturn's in Aquarius, Uranus is in Taurus. And, you know, this sort of thing brings careful and cautious change. You know, Uranus wants freedom. It's sort of rebellious. Saturn brings restriction and structure. And so it's a type of thing where there might be more regulation on technology. Uranus can represent technology. You know, Saturn squaring Uranus could be facing problems, finding solutions, limited freedom, something along that lines. You know, with the, you know, the winter ahead and lockdowns, I guess one could, that's not so far-fetched. Unexpected disruptions and things like that. So, but on a personal level, it can bring breakthroughs in self-exploration and things like that. So the other thing I want to speak about with Saturn squaring Uranus is that Uranus is in Taurus. And so Taurus is typically the sort of financial area. So maybe there's some more regulation put on technology, you know, cryptocurrencies. You know, Uranus and Taurus is sort of a cryptocurrency theme, so maybe there could be regulatory things with regard to that. Yeah, these are all just some examples of ways it could show up. Of course, who knows how it will.
And we're going for our last break of the show. We will be back to hear about the rest of the planetary influences with Rob Stewart, our certified hippo and astrologer from innercenter.org, and our luscious and curvaceous Lori Powers Otto.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
The United States has the highest rate of incarceration in the world. At the Equal Justice Initiative, we believe mass incarceration has to end. There is this presumption of dangerousness and guilt that gets assigned to Black and brown people. We have to confront our history of racial injustice and commit to a new era of truth. There's something better waiting for us, something that feels more like freedom. Truth can inspire change. Please learn more at EJI.org.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show. To this week, our show is Planetary Influences with our astrologer, Rob Stewart from innercenter.org, and Lori Powers Otto as the other hostess with the mostest, and we're seeing what's happening in the skies and what that means to us poor little two-footed walking around on the earth. So, expose to us poor little two-footed, what else is up, Rob?
So, we have a Mercury retrograde from January 31st until February 21st, and that's in Aquarius. And so, you know, we've talked about Mercury retrogrades on the show quite a bit, but, you know, it's something about reviewing. It's a time for reviewing, reassessing, reevaluating. It's not, you know, in astrology, it's generally spoken as it's not an optimal time to make sort of new plans and new things. It's about reviewing the past, reviewing old things, going over the checkbook or going, you know, tidying up whatever it is that's Mercury, mind, communication, thinking related. And so, you know, on a personal level, one thing to be aware of is that miscommunication can occur. And also, obviously, along with miscommunication can come frustrated communication. And so it's a time to go slow. It's good for the inner work and meditation. And just know that calendars can get a bit chaotic during Mercury retrograde. You know, plans can sort of suddenly be canceled and things of that nature. Also, technological issues are known to occur during Mercury retrograde. So just take what you will there. And it's also, you know, it's generally suggested that you review any new contracts carefully during Mercury retrograde, because when Mercury's retrograde, we may not look at the fine print in the way that we generally do. I know that might sound silly, but it's a type of thing where it can be easy to gloss over the details with Mercury retrograde, and you know, that affects different people in different ways. But in Aquarius, maybe it's something about reviewing what groups you want to be a part of, or, you know, reimagining what it is you want for you and your future. That's another Aquarian theme. And some of the dates to keep in mind here, that around Valentine's Day, unfortunately, is a time where, you know, just be mindful of communication. There's some Mercury's making some aspects with Mars on February 10th. It's squaring Mars. And, you know, that's a time where maybe, you know, some miscommunication or you know, frustration communication can show up. So just be aware of that, you know, to be, you know, mindful of communication during that time. And then Mercury's conjunct Venus on the 13th and then Jupiter on the 14th. These are the direct conjunctions. So there's a lot of energy there with Mercury retrograding around Valentine's Day. So just, you know, ebb and flow with the communication and when it's squaring Mars, which is, you know, during this whole period, but the exact square is on February 10th. Just be aware, you know, take some deep breathing, I guess, if some challenges in communication arrive. Let's see.
Okay, so while he's looking up that NASA aspect, these are to all of you who are in couple land on Valentine's Day. What this says to you is, don't do for your significant other what you would like to have done unto you. Ask them what they would like to have done unto them and do that. Or if you think you know, well, good luck. But give it a shot. And make sure that when you actually go to interrupt them, because you know what they're going to say, because you've been around each other for so long, you just shut it up and listen for a change. Take a deep breath and think, I'm so lucky to have this person in my life. And then see what words flow out of your lovely lips. That's my guidance and advice based on what Bob just told us. What do you think, Lori? You think those are good solutions?
I think those are great solutions. I'm just bummed that Mercury retrograde is going to mess up my birthday. Come on. Just kidding. But no, you're absolutely right. And just like everything with astrology and everything we've talked about tonight, it all comes down to choices. So just make sure you're doing the best you can. And don't make assumptions and don't be a jerk. That's what I got out of
it. And on what day should the and what is the exact day that you turn 29?
Wow, that was a long time ago. The 18th.
So the 18th. So when you have survived through Valentine's Day and have lived another day and haven't screwed it up so bad that your back is sore from sleeping on the couch, make sure you reach out to Lori and wish her a happy 29th birthday. Rob, continue. Can you tell that Aquarian energy has hit my chaotic button?
Great. No, so let's see. So Venus enters Aquarius on February 1st, and it'll be there in Aquarius until February 25th. So, you know, we don't have six planets in Aquarius just yet, but we will. We will in February. But so, you know, Venus is what we value. It's where we put our time and energy. You know, Venus is about our connection with other people and relationships. And so with Venus in Aquarius, there's some sort of unconventionality with regards to friendships, maybe interaction, good time for reaching out with new groups, finding people of like interests, similar interests, or maybe this sort of new thing that you're interested in. It's a good time for all that. And, you know, it's an air sign. So it's, you know, connections. Venus speaks to connections. So there can be intellectual connections. Like I said, connecting with similar-minded people. And it's really sort of the connecting through the mind. You know, a lot of communication and things like that. Hang on, I'm in my car and I got a police officer here.
Hi.
Are you all set?
So, Miss Lori.
Yes, Dr. Kevin.
So, all of this, all of these energies. Oh, I think he may be back. But anyways, so all of these energies that Rob are talking about, what does it make you want to tell people out there? That's going to be most helpful during these energetic times?
Well, I think, like I touched on before, the energies are really going to be high for a while. Yes. And we've got a lot going on. So we all need to be mindful and we all need to make choices, mindful choices. I mean, let's face it, we can't keep going the way we've been going. Now's the time to move forward, but you want to do it in a thoughtful way, in a kind way, but with purpose. Does that make sense?
So have some intentionality.
Yeah.
Think ahead of time of who you know that may need your support right now. And also, I think it's a good time because this is a time when we are all getting our own version of dinged for different reasons. There's lots of energy. There's lots of change. And we've been through a lot in the last 12 months.
Right.
As a nation, as individuals. And I think that also getting clear on what are your needs? What are your needs right now? If I came up to you and said, what do you most need right now to feel like you can get your life either moving again or get it straightened out or find a direction or, you know, we've had a lot of sinkholes and we've had a lot of bumps and we've had a lot of bad weather and all sorts of things. What do you need to happily move forward? Think about what your request would be if somebody said that to you. And then
exactly.
Be prepared. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say exactly. And that's the gift of Mercury retrograde, is that it gives you the opportunity to do that very thing. Think on those things. Reflect on you, your life, your choices, everything. Mercury, so many people fear Mercury retrograde, but it's really a gift.
Oh, yeah, and I agree, because I was born, and I laughed when you said that, great, Mercury retrograde is going to screw up my birthday, because I was born with Mercury retrograde in my chart. So it's always a good time for me. I mean, I still have to be aware of what's going on in the universe and how it's getting dinged by a Mercury retrograde, but it's a great time for me because I have my natal chart is a Mercury retrograde.
Yeah, I've never personally had an issue with Mercury retrograde. But I know people that do, and they convince themselves that bad things are going to happen. So guess what? Self-fulfilling prophecies. Bad things happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know?
But
yeah.
As you look inward and think, what would I say to that question? Then I want you to take that question of what can I most do to help you stabilize, move forward, just keep going, right your ship, whatever the story is, what can I do? Then I want you to go out and think, who are the people I want to say this to?
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what I need and be willing to share it clear and concisely. Don't do a program. Oh, no, I'm fine. Nothing. Okay.
Right.
But, you know, go, you know, well, this is what I find, that maybe your spouse says, maybe at the end of our days that are so crazy, maybe if we could have just a half an hour and have a cup of tea or a glass of wine, that's just you and I, and we put all our technology down, and I feel like you and I have kind of reconnected with what's going on in each other's lives. Maybe that's all that person needs from you as a friend, as a significant other, as a parent, as a child. And you can return the favor because they're probably going to ask you. And there's nothing worse than somebody who asks you a intense and meaningful question. And then when you ask them back, they go, oh, I don't know. I didn't, you know, I wanted to see what you needed. Oh, shut up.
So many of us do that though, right?
Right.
We will care about what you need, but we don't take the time to think about what we need.
Or we're not willing to express it. Rob, are you back with us?
Yeah, I've been back here for a bit. Yeah, just met a nice police officer. Yeah, I'm in my car in a parking lot, and he was just checking it out. So,
how nice.
Yeah.
That was nice. Good. So finish up our astrology before we run out of time and you're hauled off to jail. Oh, sorry.
That's it. Yeah, no, that's all I had to talk about. Yeah.
Wow. So, Lori, did you see how smoothly he did that? He was going to run out of content to talk about, so he made up this police officer to step off of the show and dump it that you and I suddenly had to fill stuff in. And now, miraculously, as the show is coming to an end, he's done with said mysterious police officer. We see how you are, Rob, certified hippo.
I don't believe any of that to be true. I just want you to know. I heard that officer ask Rob if he was okay.
That
yeah,
was just
yeah,
Rob
yeah.
Droning his voice.
he was a really nice guy.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. There are a lot of really nice people. There are a lot of nice guys and girls that are that become police for all the right reasons and treat it with the respect that it should be done. And like everybody and like everything else, you got some bad apples, but that's life. So it's great that you met a nice, caring, concerned one and wanted to check in and make sure you were okay. So I want to go back to this question I had for you sooner. We're going to be up in a minute or so, but so this whole idea fascinates me of looking at a presidency and saying, so now the presidency starts in the age of Aquarius, or it's time of Aquarius, because the 20th, we're usually always in Aquarius by the 20th most years, right? Rob?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Now, inauguration used to be March 3rd, which means it was in the time of Pisces. So each of the presidencies had a Pisces sun when we started. And if I'm correct, now we have an Aquarian presidency. And, you know, there's some discussion that that day could be moved again, because the whole reason for the day is for everybody to time enough to get there, and that's just not an issue. But I started to hear the music. Out of time. Rob, think about next month here on the Dr. Kevin Show. And hey, look forward to what we want to watch for the Biden presidency. What do you think? You up to the challenge? Rob?
Yeah, I'm sorry, you leaped out there, so I couldn't hear that. Sorry about that.
Yeah, couldn't really hear you, Kevin.